Whoever you are, wherever you have come from, whoever you love, we welcome you. I am John Murphy, today's worship associate. I am joined by worship leader Elaine Bowen. Lay-led services are a time-honored Unitarian Universalist tradition. We believe that the Sunday service is best reflected in a variety of voices and experiences.
I light the chalice this morning with words from Shakespeare's Hamlet, Polonius to Laertes, Act 1, Scene 3. To thine own self be true, and it must follow as night the day. Thou canst not then be false toward any man.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Dr. Parker J. Palmer, Quaker author, activist, and visionary. Democracy is a nonstop experiment in the strengths and weaknesses of our political institutions, local communities, and the human heart. And its outcome can never be taken for granted. The experiment is endless unless we blow up the lab, and the explosives to do the job are found within us. But also is the heart's alchemy that can turn suffering into compassion, conflict into community, and tension into energy for creativity amid democracy's demands. Come, let us worship together.
I wonder if you do what I do. Whenever I start a project or start considering a subject, first I go to the dictionary to get a baseline definition. So this week I looked up patriotism, and I found that it means devoted love, support, and defense of one's country. It means being loyal to our country and having a sense that we belong to our country and our country belongs to us. It's about having a sense of responsibility to our country and to our fellow citizens. And for this time for all ages, Elaine suggested that I look at the life of Betsy Ross. And you may know that Betsy Ross was a Philadelphian who owned an upholstery shop at the time that our country was seeking independence from England. And you also probably know that there is a bit of controversy about whether or not she really did sew that first American flag. But you probably don't know, I didn't know anyhow, is that by the time she was just 30 years old, she was already twice a widow. Both of her husbands lost their lives in the fight for independence. They were patriots who gave their lives for this country. And in those first months when our country was new, the leaders were looking for ways to help people feel a sense of loyalty to the United States rather than to England. And this might be a legend, but as the story goes, George Washington and two other important men of the time visited Betsy Ross in her upholstery shop and convinced her to create a symbol that would promote love, support, and loyalty, one that would promote patriotism. And she sewed that first flag with 13 stripes and 13 stars, one for each of the 13 colonies. And her design is the one that we still use today, with a new star added whenever a state has been added to the Union. And we look at the flag, and we know that it is the main symbol of the United States. And often looking at the flag stirs feelings of loyalty and love, feelings of patriotism. And I brought my own flag this morning because it has a very interesting story. I think it's interesting anyhow. My husband and I got this flag about 30 years ago, and at that time we learned that citizens could purchase a flag that has flown over the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. So this very flag flew for 24 hours over that building, which is the center of our government. And owning it makes me feel very proud, and displaying it on federal holidays makes me feel patriotic. I feel as if I own a piece of history, and in fact, I feel kind of patriotic sharing this story with you this morning. And I've invited Logan Boers to share a story with us this morning about a recent opportunity that he had to express his patriotism. So come over to the microphone.
Okay. This weekend, I participated in a flag retirement ceremony with the Cub Scouts. We burn them because any other way of disposing an old flag is dishonoring them. We had fun, but it was also very serious and respectful.
Please join me now in the spirit of prayer or meditation, as is your practice. Spirit of life, you have granted us this day, and it is a gift. It is warm, the sun is trying to break through. The leaves are turning and falling, and we are together. We are here in this community of love and care and support, and the arms of that love are around each and every person in this room. From the wee one who is expressing her sound to the eldest who may sit in a bit of ache and pain, but who are here because we care, because we love, because we are a family in this great nation of ours. May you take the love that you feel today out into your world, share it, spread it, and just be with it. Amen. Can be fun. This service has been a long time coming. It has been rolling around in my heart and in my mind for the better part of the last 10 years. I originally intended it for the topic to be a small group ministry session, but that didn't seem like enough time to explore a lot of what I was thinking and feeling. It's probably not standard or even best practice to begin a homily with disclaimers, but that's something I feel I need to do. I tell you that the views that are about to be expressed are not those of our staff or of necessarily the congregation as a whole. They are mine, I own them. And I speak for myself. I am neither a scholar nor an historian, and I have exercised my best efforts to divorce politics from the substance. That is not easy to do in the climate that we currently live in. With that said, I invite you on my squirmy patriotic journey that has taken a number of unexpected turns, even in the writing of this homily. The story begins 5 decades ago in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, where I was born and lived for 22 years. I was fortunate to be born and raised in an area steeped in the history of our young nation. From Plymouth in the southeast, north to Boston, west to Concord and Lexington. Elementary and junior high school field trips always included visits to Plymouth Rock, the Mayflower, and Plymouth Plantation in the fall. And then north to the Freedom Trail, Bunker and Breed's Hill, the Old North Church, and Old Ironsides in the spring, typically around the time of the original Patriots' Day, the third Monday in April, which commemorates Paul Revere's infamous midnight ride. During my childhood and teen years, I felt quite comfortable in my red, white, and blueness. My family hung out our flag at every holiday. My mother even has one with 48 stars on it from before Alaska and Hawaii were brought into the Union. We were careful to observe flag etiquette, as Logan talked about. We attended parades. I considered myself pretty patriotic. I knew all the words to all the patriotic songs, and I sang them loud and proud. I was so excited on my 18th birthday that the first thing I did after school that day was go down and register to vote. I also tried to register with the Selective Service, but was none too politely rejected due to my gender. At this time in my late teens and my early 20s, I was in what I can only refer to now as my know-it-all period. I was a militant, obnoxious, and in-your-face atheist. I had it all figured out, you see. There is no God, never has been, never will be, and don't even talk to me about it. I was right, everyone else wasn't, and I was insufferable. I couldn't stand to hear the word God or anything that referred to God, starting with God bless you after a sneeze. It included all patriotic songs, but especially God Bless America, and I simply could not say the Pledge of Allegiance, talking about one nation under God. I was getting pretty squirmy in my patriotism. Looking back and keeping in mind my immaturity, I wondered, how could I love my country with all these God references attached to it if I didn't even believe in God? Admittedly, self-absorbedly, I did not think about it very long or very hard. I set it aside and let it be. From my mid-20s into my late 30s, I fell into a period of patriotism best described as benign neglect. With work, marriage, raising premature twins, coping with my son's diagnoses of autism spectrum disorder, there was little time, little energy for anything else in my life. I tried to keep up on current events. I voted in every election, including directly after getting out of the hospital, having the boys. That was about it. I would try to remember to put out the flag on holidays. We would go to a parade once in a while, but there really wasn't very much more. Approaching the age of 40 in 2001, I realized there was a very empty place in my life. With the help of a dear friend and kindred spirit, I began exploring exactly what it might be. The short version of how that story played out was that I discovered Unitarian Universalism and you and my UU Church of Kent on April 12, 2001. My empty place, it, a lack of a spiritual self and spiritual home, had been filled and fulfilled. But 5 months later, another turning point, another sentinel moment when life would never be the same occurred. My America, your America, changed forever. Memory is a very interesting thing. We remember where we were and what we were doing when certain events occur and are indelibly imprinted in our minds. President Kennedy's assassination, the first moonwalk, the Challenger disaster, the Berlin Wall crumbling, the destruction of the World Trade Towers. It is the last of these, in 2001, that altered my patriotic relationship with America. In the days, weeks, and months following the tragic events of September 11th, I realized the anger I was feeling was not toward the bombers, their religion, their reasons or rationale, or their country of origin. I was angry at people of my country who, with what I call knee-jerk patriotism, reacted particularly and spectacularly badly. Hate speech and hate acts about and toward Muslims, Islam, the Middle East, terrorists, the Quran, revenge and bloodlust abounded. It made me feel uneasy, very squirmy. I was angry. I was reminded of a comment by Albert Einstein who said, "Heroism on command, senseless violence, and all the loathsome nonsense that goes by the name of patriotism, how passionately I hate them." It doesn't really matter what kind of package you put it in or how pretty you wrap it in a flag. The fact is still hate. What was being said and done in the name of my America and your America, and by so-called patriotic Americans, disappointed, distressed, and disheartened me. Hard to admit, but at the time, I said nothing, and I did nothing. I did not feel that there was anyone I could trust with how I felt. It seemed disloyal and unsympathetic to the memory of those who were killed. It seemed un-American, unpatriotic. Unfortunately, I would feel worse when the Patriot Act was passed and the Homeland Security Agency was created, when our civil rights were being eroded in the name of national security, when my Massachusetts Patriots Day in April was co-opted into Patriot Day on September 11th, when war in Iraq and then Afghanistan were being waged at an enormous cost in lives and the creation of obscene debt. Oh yes, it felt much worse. I doubted my Americanism, my love of my country. I knew, some way, somehow, I needed to make peace with my squirmy, uncomfortable patriotism. But what to do? In times of great turmoil and stress, I did what brings comfort and inner calm. I turned myself inward to both my common sense and my faith. Since the passing of my militant atheist days and in my growing Unitarian Universalism, I had made my peace with God language. I defined what the concept and the word meant to me So that was not so much the issue. Part of the issue was working on the acceptance of the worth and dignity of all parties, the bombers and their allies, the Muslim haters and Islam bashers, the politicians, the president of the time, the knee-jerk patriots, all of them. For reasons I cannot explain, it was easier to forgive an unseen, faraway enemy than it was for those here at home who seemed to be exploiting the acts for political gain and partisan advantage. Clarence Darrow once said, "True patriotism hates injustice in its own land more than anywhere else." The Americans I was trying to respect for their worth and dignity acted in ways I considered to be un-American and unpatriotic. Rhetoric and plans for retribution, revenge, and vengeance predominated the airwaves as well as the electronic and print media. Justice, I wondered, was waging war in Iraq and Afghanistan, destroying two countries' infrastructures, killing thousands of native people, and the deaths of thousands of our citizens. Justice? Was stalking a dictator and killing a terrorist leader justice? Or was it simply revenge wrapped in our flag? Our Unitarian Universalist principle of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning helped as I wrestled and struggled with this question of what is justice. It led me further down a road I was already on of extreme pacifism and the belief that war is not the answer. Allocating billions of tax dollars to the Defense Department budget is wasteful and unnecessary when there is so much that needs done in America for our citizens who are hungry, health care impaired, homeless, jobless, and in despair. Martin Luther King Jr. once stated, "A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death." I agree. My belief has led to great squirminess in discussions about national defense and support of the military. Perhaps I am a bit naive, and I am aware I haven't all the answers, but I know what I believe. In living our UU principle of the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process, I use my one valuable voice, my vote, to help elect leaders whose values are similar to mine, who believe that bread is more important than bombs and bullets. I use my right of free speech to write and speak my truth. I use my energy, my enthusiasm, my coins, and my cash to work toward less food insecurity and hunger in our community and in our America. I frequently ask, beg, implore you to join me in helping our local food pantry. I use social media to share and promote Feeding America, a national anti-hunger organization. It is my personal spiritual mission, but I also believe it is a patriotic mission. We are all Americans living in a land of abundance. When there are those with enough, it is, I believe, our responsibility, our moral and ethical duty to lift up those who do not. Calvin Coolidge, the 33rd president of the United States, said, "Patriotism is when love of your people comes first." I've made my peace with my America, with my personal version of patriotism, and my people, because on this journey, I have learned to love and to act from the very depths of my faith. Blessed be, and amen.
It is through generous giving that we affirm before the world our nation's faith in the inalienable right of every man to a life of freedom, justice, and security. Harry S. Truman, 33rd President of the United States. And if you're a guest, please take a candle from the basket as our gift to you. The offering will now be gratefully received.
What if each voice is connected? What if each sound moves into the middle? What if our boundaries fall unprotected? Was the answer given to the riddle? What if a smile could break a fist? What if the road just ended with a kiss? What if the journey is loving one another? What if each moment felt like this? Whose democracy you living in? Whose revolution is American? Who's gonna save us our freedom? I don't know, but I've been troubling. What if the money falls into the river? What if the package just don't get delivered? What if the battle's so far away? What if freedom came to stay? Whose democracy you living in? Whose revolution is American? Gonna save us our freedom. I don't know, but I've been troubling. Where is my country? I've been here waiting. When will my soldier fence. Let our nation regain respect. Make our challenge to connect. Whose democracy you living in? Whose revolution is American? Who's gonna save us our freedom? I don't know, but I've been
Adlai Stevenson once said, "Patriotism is not short, frenzied outbursts of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime." Whatever and wherever your lifetime takes you, may you do it with great dedication and with great love, and take that love out into the world. Amen and blessed be.